It's like Lindauer always had it. Good. We'll share it with you, since you're so kind.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the House Rules Committee, and note for the record that it is 8:40 a.m. And the date is January, what is it?
Well, I think it's...
I'm missing part of my folder
it's
here.
It's 28.
Here.
January 28th, 1991, and members present. In addition to the chair are Representatives Grusendorf, Donnelly, and Martin. And we're beginning this morning's meeting late because of difficulty in getting a quorum, and all members will be reminded of their duties as members of the Rules Committee. I'd like to welcome you to this first meeting of the year and begin, before we take up the committee's calendar, with introductions of staff, some familiar faces to the Rules Committee and some new folks as well. Jeannie Smith is back with the committee, I'm happy to say, and will be assisting us throughout the session, as will Jim Nordland, who's been with my staff for some time and will be assisting me with Rules Committee work in addition to Jeannie's help. Also, Lynn Kinney will serve as committee secretary. She's new to Juneau, and we're glad to have her with us. And then also, Tam Cook is with us here in the room, and she'll be a frequent fixture at Rules Committee meetings, we hope, as the session goes on, director of Ledge Legal. So thank you all for being with us this morning. I guess I'd say that we'll continue Representative Grusendorf's tradition and the tradition of other committee Rules Committee chairs who are here this morning of having meetings when necessary. And the item on today's calendar, of course, was referred to only one committee, so it precipitated a Rules Committee meeting. And I'd note for the record that Representative Davidson has joined us. So we have but one item on the calendar today, HJR1. Amending the uniform rules. The sponsor of that measure is Representative Mike Navarre, and I invite him to join the committee at the table for a sponsor statement. Welcome, Representative Navarre. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Mike Navarre. I represent District 5 in the Alaska House. The intent of this piece of legislation is to attempt to clear up a problem that we all recognize at the end of session, particularly focused on last year because of the budget vote. I'd like to, if I could, speak to the proposed CS that I've had drafted rather than to the original bill, because I think it takes up an answer and addresses the question that we were trying to get at.
That's fine. That'll expedite matters a great deal.
Okay, section one of the bill just addresses the problem of vote and concurrence, which is what we were voting on last year at the end of the session. We didn't get the budget back from the Senate in time. It was a concurrence vote rather than a conference committee or pre-conference committee bill. I think I changed this from the original draft, 48 hours, to 24 hours, because I think that oftentimes in our zeal to improve things, we fail to recognize some of the end of session logistics that go along with getting through. And if we were faced with a bill that had come over from the Senate that required 48 hours and they adjourned, we'd have to stay for 2 days or be faced with breaking the rules. Something that I thought of last night after speaking with the rules chairman about this bill is that one thing we might consider, if it is changed to 48 hours, or even if it's left at 24 hours, and that is to allow each individual body to control the flow of legislation within that body. Right now we have, as you know, anyone who requests a call of the House can compel a call of the House unless voted opposed by majority of the body. You can also, or two-thirds of the body, you can also ask for roll call votes. Any member can require a roll call vote. I think that you might want to put something in here that says if a piece of legislation is sent over for concurrence or a free conference committee or a conference committee report, maybe simple in nature, the changes that may be very, very minor or technical, and you might want to have the ability to get around the rule at the end rather than wait for 48 hours or 24 hours, which would require, in that case, a resolution that would have to pass both bodies by a two-thirds majority, which, unrealistic if the other body has adjourned, which sometimes happens. So that is the thrust of what this bill's intended to do, and I'm not sure how to best make it work. I know that you, Mr. Chairman, have given a lot of thought to how we can improve the end of session. So I'll leave it to the committee to help me come up with the proper way to accomplish this.
Thank you, Representative Marr. I know we're all concerned about making things run smoothly, and so I appreciate you bringing this bill before us for consideration. Representative Martin has a question.
Yeah, thank you. Well, comment? Statement, if I may.
Sure.
May end up with a question, too, with if you allow flexibility. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
This take a little longer than our normal rules committee. I agree with y'all on the concern with, over the years, the House always ends up with egg on our face because the Senate can easily, with fewer people, organize and do what they want at the last minute and just shove it down the majority of the legislators' throats. Number one, I think that after we have looked at this for about 4 or 6 years, that you need to give yourself the maximum amount of time as the opposition to the other body. And I feel that we ought to consider 72 hours as the minimum time in which this body, and it has nothing to do with minority versus majority, and they protect the independentness of the House. So 72 hours, you know, is the minimum time that one body can adjourn under the other before they have to come back. Using that same rule that's all over the nation would be a fine guideline, it seems to me, in which is the last time the House works at an appropriation bill. And I think when I say that, I think that we need to use a generic term of appropriations, because last year they also threw us a new bill that they're just ripping, so it didn't go through conference, it didn't go through three conference and so on. And we're learning that every time you establish a rule under a new term, free conference was a new thing 6-7 years ago. So now they said, oh boy, we got to get around that one. So now we'll call it a conference committee because we had no rule pertaining to conference committee. So now here we find ourselves trying to establish legislation that will get around the term conference. We need a generic term that would protect the House against any appropriation bill that we have not had a reasonable time to establish, and at the same time make certain that the other body doesn't adjourn under you so that you're straddled with it. And that's more pressure on you because they'll use the press and the press will use the citizens and the citizens will say, you guys have been down there for eternity. When are you going to get out? And so on. And so it's not going to be easy to go over the 72-hour period or whatever our 21-day line is without a lot of hard feelings and without a lot of excess pressure and making ourselves look bad. And I think we ought to protect the health in the first place from misuse by the Senate. 72 hours isn't too unreasonable in which one body can expect another body to review a bill and pass it, and especially anything that has to do with substantial changes in appropriations. And the Senate has stung us before. You remember a couple of years ago when the Republicans were in charge on the Senate side, and they added well over $200 million overnight to that bill and sent it back to us, and we got stuck with it. That was the lesson to me to show us that you have to do something to protect the whole House. It's not a majority-minority problem. It's the dignity of this House not being rolled over the other.
Representative Martin, excuse me, Representative Davidson, just a moment. I want the record to reflect that Representatives Grunberg and Taylor joined the committee. Representative Davidson?
A question to Representative Martin, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. So am I to understand then, Representative Martin, that the discussion here has gone from 48 to 24 hours, and now you're saying that perhaps we should make it 72?
Yeah, it's going all down, and I think the best protection that the body can have, considering other rules now, if you get it in 24 hours, that doesn't mean much. Sure, they give you a little more time to read it, but they adjourn out from you. Make them suffer from their own games. They're not going to be willing to stay around 72 hours when they play some games. I mean, they're doing well that you're going to find something. And the pressure is, and the governor.
Okay. Representative Navarro, and then Don.
Mr. Chairman, I think that while that suggestion is it may be a good one, I don't know what happens when you come down to the 120th day and they adjourn and you're required, in order to extend, to have both bodies vote to extend.
That's why you say, sir, within 3 days of adjournment, the other body must have. That way you don't really put a time. So if they adjourn early on you, and you can also, I think it was your bill 2 years ago, specifically the 117th day, letting them know, this is the latest we're going to accept any bill. So there's a couple ways of handling that. Even if they want to adjourn, I always say only 100th day, they must present the finance bills within 3 days of adjournment.
Go ahead, Mike.
Mr. Chairman, again, Representative Navarro. My only concern there is that at the end of session, regardless of whether or not flow is managed properly by one house or the other house can still confuse them by inundating them with bills that have been held until the last moment. Many of them will be very good public policy bills. Many of them will have been followed very closely and may only be small, though substantive mm-hmm. changes, which the body, both bodies, or at least the majority of the body, will understand fully what the legislation is doing. And so you may be artificially locking yourself into something that would be a bigger cause for concern than what is now the case. So I would be real cautious about extending the deadline from 24 to 48 and then to 72. I think that when during the end of session, when legislation is passed from one body to the other, the people who are interested in it and who want to read within 24 hours will be able, I think, to read and understand or at least point out major problems in that legislation. 48 hours certainly would be better. Although then you're getting in, I think, maybe creating some more problems in logistics for the bodies. And we already have significant logistical problems at the end of the legislative session.
Mm-hmm. Representative Navarro, would you like to comment? You've commented on Representative Martin's suggestion of extension of the time. Would you care to comment on his, when he was talking about the semantics, the need for a generic term, past experience with the body's wiggling out of rules about conference committee or free conference, just sort of saying, well, that's not a stricture on us this year because this is a different kind of appropriation bill and we'll give it a new title so we can get out of the rule and not have to suspend them formally. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, yes, I do. Whether or not it's an appropriation bill or another bill, oftentimes the changes that are made are of such a nature that they require scrutiny or at least some analysis before you really know what the changes are. And I think that if you changed it to being any bill rather than appropriation bill, I actually think it would provide the ability to look at, I think it would provide better for the public interest. That would be mine. Although if you go to 72 hours again, logistically you're creating a significant problem for yourself.
Okay, Representative Donnelly raised his hand next, so we'll take him and then Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know who to address this question to exactly. It's kind of multiple things. I thought I heard Representative Martin express two concerns. Number one, it seems like the Section 3 of the bill only deals with appropriation bills from the conference committee and not appropriation bills that came directly to us, and that's a concern of mine. And then his second part was the 72 hours change. And Representative Navarro just addressed himself to making it any bill, not just the appropriation bill, but I'm confused on that. So maybe the sponsor could clarify that for me. Is this, as it is now, it only applies to appropriation bills coming from the conference committee. Is that true?
It also applies in Section 1 to concurrence.
That's the other thing with the CS.
That's what makes it more expansive.
Section 1 deals with concurrence votes on appropriation bills. And quite honestly, I did focus on the appropriation bill because that's what the problem was last year. I think that I know that Representative Ellis and certainly some of the others of us recognize that other bills also create the same types of problems.
Oh, okay, Mr. Chairman. Then So the difference between the CS and the original is in the original, the Section 1 only dealt with non-appropriation bills, and then in the CS we have a separate Section 1 that deals specifically with appropriation bills, and then a Section 2 that deals with non-appropriation bills, and then a Section 3 that deals with the conference. So,
Representative Barr?
The original bill simply dealt with conference, free conference, and conference committees with limited powers of free conference reports. It did not deal with the problem of a concurrence vote on a piece of legislation. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take comments from Speaker Grusendorf and then Representative Grunberg, and we're getting close to my soliciting a motion to adopt the committee substitute as the item before us for purposes of further discussion or possible amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the problems we have is that a lot of our uniform rules have found it working. It works very difficult with the new requirement of 120 days. And there's certain requirements in the Constitution that makes it difficult for us with 120 days, too, such as first to third reading, where sometimes we can't get there. So our problem really is the second session. What I see here is creating a minimum. These are guidelines. These rules are guidelines. As we all know, they have been ignored and abused. But guidelines to protect one house from the other to at least have a concern of a minimum amount of time. That minimum amount of time is 24 hours. That is not to say that the leadership on the House and the Senate side cannot shoot for an earlier figure, such as Senator Elias and I are now talking about 48 hours. But this would be the minimum of the guideline to allow us, you know, so that we have something to hang our hat on and say, hey, 48 hours. Representative Martin was talking about when they threw that thing over there, if I remember rightly, we refused to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
And adjourned, and then back we were on that issue. So there's ways to do it, but sometimes it's messy. But I like what the co-chair of finance is proposing with appropriation bills. That's our major problem. And I like what I see in the CS. Yes, there's probably some other things we could think about and throw in there, but I think we want to address this one single aspect and go from there.
Representative Grunberg?
Yes. Two points. Actually, three points. First, with respect to the CS as opposed to the original draft, it seems to me that I appreciate the Representative Navarro would correct me if I'm wrong, that the proposed CS does three things. The title's broader. It's not limited simply to Rule 42 because Section 1 now deals with Rule 41. Second thing it does is add a new Section 1, which deals with concurrence votes. And the third thing it does is change the 48 hours to 24 hours. Am I correct? Is that the only reason? Okay. I have absolutely no problem with the first two things. I have severe problems with limiting it below 48 hours. The people that I have dealt with in my constituency and the people I've heard from who expressed an opinion all feel very strongly that there should be a very significant amount of time for the public around this very large state of ours to know what's going on in these appropriations bills. And I think that 48 hours is the minimum. I would like to see the 72 hours, but at least the 48 hours. I would not putting it below that, simply because it takes too long for the public in our state to know what's going on. We're too isolated down here in Juneau. That's my first point. The second thing is a technical thing, and I would like to, so I don't have any problem with the adoption of the CS, but I would like to see that with the 48 rather than the 24 hour, at the very least. And I think it should be limited to appropriations bills. I agree with the speaker on that. The other thing, I have been working on this during the interim, and Tam Cook, who's here, had drafted something for me, and she had drafted it a little bit differently. And I would just ask technically, just from a technical point of view, what she had done here, as well as Rule 42, had dealt with Rule 18, which is the daily calendar, and had provided that a measure other than an appropriation bill placed on the calendar by vote shall be calendared for the next legislative day. That's the current practice. This is the key language. An appropriation bill shall be calendared for the second day after the vote is held. And whether we need to have that type, and I guess I consider it kind of a conforming amendment, whether we need to have something concerning the calendaring of bills as well as the voting of bills on the floor. And this was really, and then she would add a new subsection to Rule 18, reading substantially as follows. An appropriation bill may not be placed on the calendar for consideration in second reading until at least, again, this is 48 hours, assuming it's a 48-hour, 24, whatever it is, hours after it's reported from the last committee of referral. Because there are three ways that the bills make it onto the floor, and this bill now only deals with two ways. Number one is concurrence. Number two is a conference committee. But number three, which is not dealt with, is the initial calendaring, when it has not gone to the other house. And Tam's version covers that alternative as well. Tam, correct me if I'm wrong. What I'd like to do, just for, and disregard the rest of this bill, it deals with other things here, but just so you can see, the only portion I'm referring to here are sections 1 and 2 of this thing here. And I frankly don't know whether that's important. And I would just ask Pam, am I correctly characterizing what you did in that draft?
I think that's correct, Representative. Basically, if you just took sections 1
Ms. Cook, excuse me just a moment. Are you picking her up on the tape from that distance?
Maybe, would you like to have her come on up?
Yeah, could you pull it forward? As soon as Ms. Cook's made her comments, I'll go back to the sponsor and Representative Grusendorf on this point. Representative Martin wanted to respond more generally to the previous discussion, I believe.
Okay. And I'm simply, what I'm referring to for the record, Mr. Chairman, is a draft. That is LS0172ND Cook 12291, and the two sections that I'm referencing only are sections 1 and 2 in there.
Okay, Ms. Cook, and then the sponsor.
This is Tam Cook of Legal Services, for the record. And essentially, if sections 1 and 2 were adopted, it would those two sections would place a time limit during which the house of origin of a bill could not calendar an appropriation bill for third reading. So this would be yet a third deadline. Basically, it would require that in the case of an appropriation bill being considered by a house of origin, or by, for that matter, a second house having the bill having been read over to it already, once it had gone through the committees of referral and was in the Rules Committee for calendaring before a vote could be taken on the floor of the body about that bill, this thing would kick in a 48-hour deadline. That, of course, would be modified, but basically it would be the period within which the bill was reported from the last committee of referral before it could be calendared and voted on. This would create a delay in that period.
Just Mr. Chairman, I think regardless of whether it's 24, 48, or 72 hours, that my recommendation to the committee is that we include sections dealing with that contingency as well.
Okay, Representative Navarro and then Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think this suggestion is well intended. I don't think it gets to what might be the root of the problem in looking at bills, and that is that the amendment process is always available, whatever day it's available on the floor. And those are going to be debated, and we'll be making changes in bills all the time. I think all this results in is appropriation bills being delayed an additional day, and it's not the problem that we have in when we're dealing at the end of session, particularly at the end of the second session, with all of the things that are going on within our body, at the same time trying to focus on and understand the changes to legislation that are sent back from the other body. So I guess I don't see this as a significant problem.
Because of the availability of reconsideration after right. The bill hits the floor.
Well, yeah, first of all, you can't pass from second to third reading without 30 right. votes, and then there's reconsideration yeah. is available.
So there are two methods by which more time is gained on appropriation bills.
And
Representative Moore.
One further comment. I think in today's media climate, we're not really nearly so isolated as we otherwise think we are sometimes. And at the end of session, generally I find that people who are interested in the legislation will know what's going on, including those of us who work within the process. And I recognize oftentimes that the public asks for and has a perception that something may work better in this process than it does now, but many of them have not and do not work in the process, and I think perhaps don't have nearly the understanding of those of us who are responsible for these types of changes and have to work with the rules that we set on.
Representative Grusendorf.
Representative Navarre hit some of these safeguards that we have once the bill is on the floor. And I think we've got to look at what we're really trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish here, and that's simple. We're trying to make sure every member of the legislative body has 24 hours or 48 or a certain period of time so that when he or she touches that stack, it's still not hot from the copying machine and that the information is available. The calendaring of it, long as you have it 24 hours ahead of time, that's what we're concerned about. When we calendar it after that period, makes no difference. It may be 3 days after that, 4 days after that. Mm-hmm. But I think what we're interested in here is information that you get, that you have to look at before it gets to the floor. Whatever time we decide, 24 hours, 40. But if you do it here and then over here, in the end, blocks of time here, and then when you can calendar it, you're not giving yourself any flexibility, and what we're after is information here.
Right.
And I just...
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, were you finished? Okay. Representative Martin, and then Grunberg, and then Taylor. I got you before, Max.
Generally, I'm hopeful now that at least everyone's saying 24 hours, which is better than what we said before. But there's more important things than just us having that information. For instance, of all the people, not to embarrass anyone, but who in the world knew what the final numbers were last year? I was saying over $3 billion only because I had spent some time that night and early in the morning, and my staff did, and going over the budget and all that and wondering what the hell they were doing. They were running it, and they were running up the numbers, and only because I was over their shoulders was I was able to say with somewhat confidence that this is well over $3 billion. Of course, Ron came over and went, "Where are you getting those numbers?" And I showed him some printouts we had. Well, that's dumb for me, a minority member, showing the Finance Committee and Barrett. Ron and I get along, but I want to give it to him. And he said, "Oh, I didn't see those yet." And that's what the situation was. OMB over there at midnight, 2 in the morning, running off, what did I put in here? And it's way over what your own finance chairman saw, and I don't want to see you embarrassed that way this year. You've got to get more time. The members on the committee and the majority will want it. What are we voting on? And only because you had an understanding, an honorable understanding with each other. We got to vote on it whether we like it or not. Well, don't The band and Senator Lyons Center are good friends. It reminds me years ago when Senator Clintillion and Speaker Terry Gardner were great friends. And they worked with each other hand in glove. They wanted a 110-day session. And they had their own calendar. Sure, it was nothing written like Ben and Dick are working out. It's a good gentleman's agreement. Neither wants to embarrass the other. But you write rules and regulations for the general trend. And the general trend in this house, in this state, and well, all over the nation, it's nothing new, is to embarrass the other group, get what we want, and play the games. That's why you have to have some kind of sensibility of rules and understanding. If they break them, they break them. If they waive them, they waive them. But at least you all gave an honest attempt on behalf, as Matt said, for public perception. And public does have a right to know. This is the whole reason we're all down here, for the sake of the public. And I really think that, in my heart, it's not to drag anybody around. I think you're on the right thing of trying to solve this thing, not for this legislature, but for maybe 4 or 5, or down the road, 10 legislature. So whatever step you take right now, even if it's half a step forward, it may help the next body, the 18th, 20th, 50th legislature. I'd like to, you know, if you don't want 72 hours, I'd compromise on 48 hours, but also feel, because of experience, don't narrow yourself into any terms. Make it any appropriation bill. Don't put yourself in a jam. You know, doggone well they're going to do it. They're just human beings. And if they can come around some other term, or if they can join under you, the other body doesn't care. And I don't want our friendship with the president and the speaker to put us in a world of happiness, because you know, things do happen that sometimes the greatest friend. Matter of fact, with Clem Tilling and Terry, I always remember toward the end of the session one day, Terry was coming up the hall. Boy, he was really embarrassed. There's much wrong. Oh, Clem, blah, blah, blah. Someone on that side did something that really threw him out of schedule. And it wasn't Terry's fault, evidently, they found out later, but Clem was really teed off about the situation. It was their personal goal. They didn't meet it. They failed by one day. Well, the world didn't come to an end, but it felt that way at that time. And so giving yourself more time, at least at a minimum 48 hours, you have to have a little flexibility and be generic. They may break the rules. They may try something fancy, but protect yourself.
Okay. We're going to take – thank you, Representative Martin. We're going to take Representative Grimberg and then Taylor, and then we are going to have a proposed committee substitute before us. Max.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two things. Probably one of the things that has contributed as much as anything else to the current public perception of our legislature is this process of putting appropriations bills on the desk at the last minute. It is extremely important from a public perception point of view. And we need to have some real reform. We had the logjam concept, and this is the remaining part of that. And to water it down further, I think, is cutting it really bad from a public policy point of view. I think that the 48 hours is the minimum amount that the public will stand for. And secondly, with respect to the language that I have circulated here on the calendaring from the House of Origin, all of us in this room can remember exactly when that occurred, and it was within the last 2 years. We had an appropriation bill that was calendared pending referral from the Finance Committee. It was in a matter of hours or minutes, and we had to have a special caucus of the majority because none of us had even read it. And this is just as important. And traditionally, only the majority has offered amendments to budget bills. I don't know that that's always got to be the case.
You meant minority, Max?
Yeah. Only the minority has offered amendments on the floor. Frankly, it is a very significant constitutional protection that amendments are offered in second reading. And if you go from second, if you take hot off the press to second reading, then that's a way of avoiding any amendment and any public scrutiny. And you got to have the votes to go back from third to second reading the very next day. And it's a way of totally circumventing any public debate on the budget. And I hadn't even remembered that Tam had done this, and Mark brought the file in. I do think that we need to have the same safeguard, whether it's a House bill that we're dealing with or the initial look at a Senate vehicle. And it should, for goodness sake, not just be in concurrence votes out of the limbo file or out of free conference votes out of the limbo file. If you don't have this in here, the only thing it'll affect is when we pull stuff out of the limbo file. It won't affect the real amendment process, which is where the public debate occurs on the floor. And I would support the Navarre CS. I'd like to see a 48 hours, and I think, for goodness sake, we need these two sections.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, first, let me move the Navarre CS as the bill would be working on.
Okay. Without objection, the Navarre CS is the item before us for more discussion. Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I concur in the comments I've heard so far, and I think there's a real good faith effort here to accomplish what I think one of the more important substantive changes that we might make in the manner in which we conduct ourselves. I would also support the 48-hour aspect, although I concur with them. Probably once you have some time limitation factor, it really doesn't matter much what it is. People will then have to comply with it. My main concern, I guess, is that it be expansive enough, as Representative Martin mentioned, so that nobody can say, well, that isn't what we meant when we passed that rule. We'll just dodge it. And I think the more you define conference committee, a free conference committee, et cetera, I think you run into more problems. I like the manner in which Tam drafted the stuff for Max because, in essence, you're talking about measure as opposed to... And I think it should apply probably to all measures. But how in the world? I've been working on this thing for some time also. Mike first distributed it. I circulated it among my membership and asked for comments. Got the same kind of comments that I've heard here at the table today from everybody, you know. And yet, I'm very concerned that how do we do it with just a bill? Do we want to limit it to just an appropriation bill? And how do we ever get out of here if both sides are bound by it and you get locked in? If somebody fouls up, so to speak, and it doesn't quite come out, if each side plays brinksmanship, and then bang, we end up with them dumping and running on us, or us dumping and running on them. And yet I don't know how to draft it in such a way that it can prevent the other side from adjourning the meeting. I guess that's my concern.
I know that, and I share that, Representative Taylor. Representative, there was Speaker Grusendorf and President Eliason have, this has been discussed for some time, and the mess that happened at the end of the session, and everyone was embarrassed, and the public outrage was fairly significant, I know, in my town during the last campaign. And so the leaders of both bodies have talked about this, have made an informal agreement. I guess they've shaken hands on the 48-hour, and that's gone over quite well with people. I mean, that is the biggest glaring thing that we, I think, are under an obligation here to take care of. And so I don't think there's any problem in institutionalizing that, putting that in black and white. And I think, I guess, my hope would be that if we make a big enough, splash with this, that we're going to live up to this. And, Dick is certainly, in good faith on this. And I know there are people in the Senate that are interested in 72 hours. I think they're going to compromise to 48 hours as well. And we let the public know that we've made this change, and the press carries that. And then maybe that kind of pressure and openness in the public is what we hope will restrain us in the end, either body, from doing the kind of sabotage maneuvers on the other body. That maybe this is the year when that will be, there's a hit to take if you pull that game again this year. Maybe the public will have forgotten about all of this in 2 years, but I suspect not. With the nip and tuck between this new administration and this legislature over, you know, the relative size of operating capital budgets, reappropriations, all those things, I think there's going to be an incredible amount of public scrutiny. And the public's going to want at least 48 hours to look at bills, as will legislators, because we'll want to know, you know, what did we do with the governor to put in? So, you know, the veto game, all of those things are going to be considered this year. So I think there'll be a lot of public scrutiny and a lot of public pressure on anybody, either body that would consider, you know, the old game of putting one over on the other body. And I think that's all we can hope for, because we can always opt out. We can always get around these things, as I hope we wouldn't. I've tried to listen very carefully to members as the comments have gone around, and I know that it would probably be easier to separate each of these issues that have been raised, the three major points that have been raised, and vote on them one at a time. But Ben and I have discussed these things over the years, he's convinced me of the interconnectedness between these things in the rules, and how you want to be careful when you make these changes. So I'm going to try and express what I've heard from people around the table and what I think has support, and then maybe that will become a motion by some member of the Rules Committee for further debate. I think I hear there was some back and forth on the 28, 48 versus 72. I think probably 48 hours is something people can live with, because it was the agreement that's been struck, and we can see how that goes. So 48 hours, I think, has support in the group. I think I also heard that we should make sure that this language encompasses any appropriation bill, but only appropriation bills. Not to extend it beyond appropriation bills, but because I think that's Ben's feeling, and I think Representative Martin's feeling is we should make sure that the language is expansive enough to mean all appropriation bills and not let wiggle room by just some kind of semantical game later on.
I think that the word
Representative Grunberg?
I think the word that Tam Cook used is the word measure.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask that it be include the bill all the way through here, where bill be changed to measure.
Okay, we'll include that in the motion here in a moment. And I also listened to Representative Grunberg on the issue of the fact that Representative Navarro's committee substitute only covers two areas, and not the question of the appropriation bills moving from finance to rules. And I actually fall into the camp of thinking that there are safeguards currently in place to allow for reconsideration, and I don't know, as long as I've been here, you know, we have, I don't know any majority that could get away from not moving back to second reading for purposes of amendments, the at least the first go around, for minority members to propose amendments to the budget. Now, we know that, you know, when majorities lock up, that those aren't accepted. That's a different issue. Most of those amendments are not accepted once the majority's agreed to a budget. But I've never seen, I don't think anyone could get away with denying the opportunity in second of going back to second reading for amendments to be proposed to an appropriations bill. So I'm comfortable with the safeguards currently in place, and the two scenarios that the committee proposed committee substitute covers now. Representative Navarro, and then Martin.
Mr. Chairman, I want to reiterate, if I could, something that I mentioned earlier that I think all members of the committee were not here for. And that was that currently, in order to suspend these rules, you must have a concurrent resolution passed by both bodies. And the House has always adhered to that. I am a firm believer, though, that both bodies should have control over the actions that take place within that body, and I think I would urge that you set some type of a way to opt out, or to allow for the body to this House to make a determination on whether or not 48 hours may be unnecessary. It may be a minor bill that a minor appropriation bill that everyone agrees to and knows exactly what it is that we're trying to do. you can set it as high as you want, two-thirds, three-quarters, whatever. I just think that the opportunity ought to be there for opting out if a majority of this body agrees to it without having the burden of the other body having may adjourn.
Okay, Representative Grubbs-Dorf, if it's on this point, and then Representative Martin.
Okay, what we've normally done, should we change a title or do something like that? You simply accompany it with a concurrent resolution. Usually it's understood that you could do it that way. But I am, well, I guess this is another point. There's a way to handle that.
Okay. So Representative Navarre suggesting an opt-out other than what's existing, and if I understand you, Mr. Speaker, you're saying that that can be handled, that you don't view opting out.
The same numbers that the finance chair is talking about would be the same numbers for a concurrent resolution.
Yeah. So that's why I didn't understand your point, Mike.
Well, because the concurrent resolution requires the other body to act. I mean, we can't pass a concurrent resolution unless the Senate also passes it. What I'm suggesting is that the two-thirds vote that's required by the concurrent resolution be within this body. Now, that leaving an opt-out always leaves room for abuse, but at the same time, it protects against maybe
being abused by the other body.
Right.
Okay, Representative Martin and then Donnelly.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, I would agree with what seemed to be the concurrence on probably all three measures that you mentioned, the 48 hours, the generic term, and then also the third expression you had, that current rules are good enough to protect us on everybody a wave. Now, you got a wave, or we got to pre-schedule, we got to do this. It's not a minority group, even when I was in the majority, that does the most damage. It's a majority that does damages to itself and waives rules, and you want to honor the speaker, you want to honor the finance chairman, and we want to honor each other, and each time we honor each other, we put a little more egg on our face. So the current rules are there. It's just a matter that you got to have guts enough to follow them and know what your limitations are and make it within your own group. We're not going to waive at the end of the year. Whoever has this fantastic idea of how to do this at the last minute or that at the last minute and waive it from going to finance to rules and pre-calendaring and everything. The rules are there. If you follow them, you're going to have a great session.
Okay, Donnelly and then Grunberg.
Mr. Chairman.
We don't yet have a motion before us.
Okay. A lot of the discussion has been to... And I think very rightfully so. I mean, people around the table here have been through a lot of sessions and are concerned about the perception of the legislature and the end of session games that we play. But, I mean, it seems like, to me, the only thing that can go wrong here is that the work wouldn't get done by the 121st day. And if that's the case, then the work will get done. I mean, we may have to stay here a few more days and get it done. But, you see, I just don't think it's such a tragedy if we all are so into gamesmanship that we abuse the rules so bad that we don't finish in time. Well, maybe that's our punishment. Maybe that's what we just have to face up to and take the wrath of the public. Because the work will get done, then we'll have to have a special session, or the governor will keep us here, or we can do it ourselves. We can call ourselves, keep ourselves here, and it will be embarrassing, but maybe we need to be embarrassed if we don't follow these rules and finish on time and do it the right way.
Representative Grunberg and then Taylor, I'm sorry.
I agree with what you said, Mr. Chairman. But with one exception, and that is the thing about the calendaring. The problems are indeed somewhat different, and I am persuaded they're somewhat different. When we're calendaring a bill, and we're dealing with going into second reading and stuff like that, it's earlier in the session. It's not the last day. However, recalling the incident a couple of years ago when that bill was literally calendared pending referral from the Finance Committee, that is a separate problem. I'm not sure that we would need 48 hours to deal with it, but there should be some time, because generally that type of a bill has just gone through hearings in our own body, and the members of the committee have seen the bill. And that's been somewhat the discussion of caucus, both caucuses, but the final product hasn't been out. I don't know that we would need 48 hours because it's just been the subject of some hearings. I think that it's an abuse of the system, however, to calendar such a measure hot off the press, because although it's not at the end of the session, it doesn't give us any more time to see what's going on. And the public perception is very similar. So the problems are slightly different, but there really is a problem there. And I think that we should have something to deal with that. So my first thought is that there is a problem. It's not as big a problem, and it's a different problem from the end of this session. But there is a problem that we should take up. The way we're dealing with this problem generally is by having some type of a cooling off period or a delay. So the question, if we're going to look at it in the same light of solving that problem, is a delay appropriate? I tend to think it is. Is 48 hours necessary? I tend to think it's probably not. Maybe some kind of a shorter period, so we don't just have the press bill coming onto the floor. And maybe 24 hours is appropriate or something like that. That's just a thought.
Okay, Representative Taylor?
Well, part of my concern, I guess, is that this rule would allow the Senate to dump and run, and we would be locked in the 3 days before we could get out of Dodge.
Sure. Still have them.
Doesn't change anything on their side. Or we could do the same thing to them, I guess. Mm-hmm. If they had adopted the same rule, which I'm assuming they'll do something, we can't have a different rules than they got. Yeah, right. I guess that's my concern. I really appreciate and applaud the effort that's gone into this to try and find a way out of it. I guess my bottom line is I just have to trust the people that are there to act in good faith and professionally, and hopefully they will. If they don't, there's a way around here to change every one of these rules at any moment. We need to change them. If enough of us want to change, we change them. So I just have to rely on the professional people that we have, and I have very high hopes.
Speaker Grusendorf, and then Representative Navarre.
Okay, on one thing, these rules that we operate by, when we're rushing to the end of adjournment, that's where the rules get kind of bent up and twisted and sometimes overlooked. And it's trying to meet the deadline. But there's been some suggestion here about a generic term as opposed to appropriation bill. And I would like to know what that generic term is. And would it be so broad that we'd have people talk about, well, it has a fiscal note, or something of this nature here? And that's why I prefer the way it has been written by the CS, by the co-chair of finance, as opposed to something that's even more slushy. When you say, well, right now we have on a measure. I would say on a fiscal measure?
No, it's appropriations measure.
Appropriations.
The word be appropriations measure.
Okay, let's speak in order. I'd ask Ms. Cook to rejoin us at the table.
That would be acceptable. I just wanted to know what that term was.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Excuse me just a moment.
I want a long explanation.
Okay, no. I didn't want an explanation. I'd like to solicit a motion at this time. I see four issues before us, and I'm going to try to get you to give me a motion for two of them, and then we'll continue discussion on the other two. I'd like to solicit a motion for 48 hours, to change the committee substitute, amend that from 24 to 48 hours, and to have the language reflect, whatever the appropriate language is, coverage of any appropriation bill, appropriation measure, whatever we need to say, but appropriation measures only. Okay, those principles, and let's deal with that, and then we will. I'll entertain some more discussion about the finance, Max's issue of finance to rules, the calendaring, whether that's 24 hours, as you were suggesting in your last comments, and then Representative Navarro's concern about the opting out, the concurrent resolution issue. Representative Grunberg.
Okay. I would move, and we're looking now at the 7L-S-0172N, I guess that is, 2-2, whatever.
J?
J. Cook 591 version we've adopted. Mm-hmm. And the changes would specifically be on line 7, change the first word bill to measure, change 24 to 48, change the second word bill to measure. On page 1, line 13, change the word bill to measure. On page 1, line 15, change the word bill to measure. On page 2, line 11, change the word bill to measure. On page 2, line 12, change the word bill to measure. On page 2, line 14, change the word bill to measure. Page 2, line 15, change the word bill to measure. And on page 2, line 18, change 24 to 48. And I don't think I missed anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if anything was missed, it's the intention of the committee, if this motion passes, that wherever it's appropriate for bill to be changed to measure, that that would be done so by the drafter.
And 24 to 48.
And 24 to 48. Ms. Cook, have we taken care of all?
May I just make one statement?
Sure.
Because it's my impression that the committee's been laboring under perhaps a little bit of a misconception about what I did as a drafter here. Mm-hmm. What I did as a drafter was to use the word measure only in the context where in that line it would have applied to resolutions as well as bills. Mm-hmm. I was very, very consistent in always saying appropriation bill.
Good point.
Wherever I was writing about bills, I said appropriation bill. The few changes that appear in Representative Gruenberg's draft, where I did change the word bill to measure, that's conforming. If you notice what we're talking about in Rule 18, no business shall be transacted or any measure considered that's not on the calendar, that's the existing language. So in B, I said a measure may not be withdrawn from the Rules Committee, a measure other than an appropriation bill. I've always used the word bill with respect to appropriations, never the word measure. In my mind, measure is more useful if you consider it as encompassing things like joint resolutions and nonsense like that.
Okay. So we've...
May I...
Representative Grunberg?
So we should not change the word measure.
That would be my recommendation. I don't think as a matter of law that it really changes anything, but I understand the concern that an appropriation measure, if you're getting it mixed up with a substantive bill that might carry a fiscal impact, that we could have some real fights on our hands on whether or not it's covered. So it would be my recommendation that you stick with the word bill.
Okay, Representative Grunberg, let's restate the motion.
Just before I do, if I may inquire, Ms. Cook, you would not see us needing to change the word bill to measure at any point in this. Then I would withdraw that portion of my motion.
If there's no objection, the chair will allow Representative Grunberg to withdraw the previous motion and to restate.
The only thing would be that we would change the figure 24 on page 1, line 7 to 48, and the figure 24 on page 2, line 18 to 48.
Okay. And so, Ms. Cook, the that without objection, that's the motion before us. And Ms. Cook, then I'm clear that the language would cover any appropriation bill, but appropriation bills only. And that's the desire of the committee. Okay, is there any objection to the motion? If not, it's adopted. And let's move on to issues 3 and 4. So I'll entertain any further comments on, well, actually, Representative Grunberg, does anyone care to move an amendment that would incorporate the calendaring issue?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know how anybody else feels about this. If I'm the only one that feels that this is a problem, then I won't press it. If there's no other interest in it.
Representative Navarro, did you have a comment?
No,
okay, Representative Martin, at this point.
I agree it's a problem, and it's a bad problem, but it's one that has to be corrected within the majority group, no matter who it is, from abusing itself. So the rules are there. We have to, as you say, be cognizant of public perception. And if you want to say, oh, well, they know we're good guys and they understand why we needed this quicker waiving of the rules, then you have to suffer. The rules are there. They're very clear.
I think that answers it, Representative Greenberg. Okay, let's move on to issue number four. Representative Taylor, did you have a comment? Okay. Issue number four was raised by the sponsor about the opting out and needing the other body in a two-thirds or in a concurrent resolution. His suggestion was to have an opt-out provision for one body to make using the same number of votes, but to allow one body to opt out without the concurrence of the other body. I'll entertain discussion on that point. Representative Martin?
That immediately kills the concept of joint rules. The whole idea here of the body is that we will both work with each other as a legislature, and I'm afraid that once you may have one op rule for one house, then there's going to be other opt-out rules. So I'd hate to see us weakening the joint rules of legislature. I know what you mean, and I feel somewhat that one house has to protect itself from the other, but anytime you open a new door of new concepts of opening and going around with what the general concept was meant to be, then you're going to weaken the whole body.
We could give this a chance to work or not to work. The issue can always be revisited to give us that kind of wiggle room if necessary. Representative Navarro.
Chairman, that's fine with me. I was just trying to bring up something that I recognize as a potential problem.
I think what the Senate would do is take the House concurrent resolution and send it over with that in it. Just skip one.
Yeah. Okay, those were the four issues that I thought were outstanding. Representative Navarro.
Mr. Chairman, I know because of my discussions with you that you're going to consider this anyway, but I do want to mention that while this deals specifically with appropriation bills, because that was the focus of the problem last year, and we look at appropriation bills oftentimes as the most important bills in the process. Oftentimes, other legislation may be even more substantive and far-reaching than appropriation bills, and I'd ask you and the committee to consider legislation introducing a resolution that would also provide for that, because what it does, what I have seen in the past is that bills that come back for concurrence sometimes have minor changes that have major impacts, and in the rush at the end of session, oftentimes you just don't pick it up sometimes, and I think that it would also curb some of the abuses that we've seen in the past.
Representative Greenberg.
I think there's merit. One bill that comes to mind is the ethics bill, where you could have an 80-page bill whipped back in 15 minutes in the session. One way of curing that would be to allow a process on any non-appropriation measure where the first house sent that bill to the second house with a concurrent resolution or some type of a measure that would require that bill to be sent back in advance, so that that bill, when it was passed to the second house, would carry with it a special resolution or something indicating that that bill not just be a last-minute thing for concurrence where it's a shove-down-your-throat kind of thing.
Okay. Representative Navarro and then Martin.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that. The problem is not... I think that the problem now allows opportunity for abuse if people want to do it. And you don't recognize, some people who know this process and who watch this process are looking for opportunities. And oftentimes you don't recognize them, the opportunities, until the last second, or, as might also be the case, don't act on an opportunity until the very last second so that it won't be picked up. And I think that a concurrent resolution would not address that because you wouldn't know what's coming.
The all of these issues are worthy of further consideration. We don't have time to do that today, but we'll continue to think about it and improve the rules. Representative Martin?
Yeah, I think what Representative Menard is going to is great, and we need it. This is a big step. As legislature goes, you can't get everything in one loaf. So you got a big slice of bread right here taking care of appropriation bills. But eventually, now that we have a true deadline by Constitution, or by court mandate anyway, of 121 days, at least you can then begin visualizing how one body can protect its others. And I still think, eventually, getting to your question and concern of mine for years, a reasonable way of cleaning up a House calendar, and if you have it so that no bill from one House to another may pass within less than 48 hours of adjournment, it gives the other body a fair chance of cleaning its calendar up and seeing what came over, and also puts the heat on them, knowing darn well, hey, they got 48 hours to look at this Mickey Mouse, we better be a little more clean on what we sent over. So eventually we should do that, to make both houses have a possibility of, really, instead of the rush that Ben's been in, and I see him at 2 o'clock in the morning, what we're going to put on schedule at 10 o'clock with the garbage that just came over. And you're going to need some time. I guess Gene has been in that mess more than anyone else over the years. Without any reasonable time whatsoever, you've got to get it 48 hours, in my mind, no bill past the other house.
We will, there's always more work to do. If there's no further discussion, the chair will entertain a motion on final disposition of HCR 1 as amended. Okay. The bill passes from, it could pass with individual recommendations, Representative Taylor, or with individual recommendations. If, without objection, so ordered. Thank you all for being here, Representative Navarro. Thank you for your work on this issue, and please remember to sign the committee report before you take off.
Where is it? Is this one here?
Right.
Terry, thanks for coming.
We'll adjourn the meeting at 9:45 a.m.
Where's